Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
It's my pleasure, Bruce. It's always good to be with you.
The Swine Health Information Center has released its domestic and global swine disease surveillance reports. First of all, what are we seeing of note domestically, and how would that compare with expectations for this time of year?
And that's really the important thing there, Bruce, is how it compares with expectations for this time of year. We're starting to see an uptick in PERS diagnoses, an uptick in the positive PERS tests. And that would be consistent with what we're getting, you know, the seasonal pattern for PERS and this time of year. So it's not really surprising. It's just starting. And of particular note, though, I think with the PERS situation is the contribution of the 144 strain of PERS, the lineage 1C. Across months, there isn't a real uptick in activity in 1441C. What we're seeing is an increase in the proportion of diagnoses that are happening in the finishing floors and in the weaned finished floors. And so that's of some concern. I mean, that's of some concern to me because our history and just epidemiological experience has been that when a finishing floor breaks with a disease, it serves as a nidus of infection for breeding herds, even as far long ago as our pseudorabies eradication program showed us the importance of making sure that finishing floors were negative in order to protect the breeding herds that might be in the region. And so I think this issue of an uptick in the 1441C on weaned finish farms is an important thing to keep note of, especially going into PERS season. The outbreaks or the detections of PED are within limits and really not much that are of particular note. They continue to remain relatively low. And that's a good thing. We're learning much more better lessons about PED prevention, control, and elimination from farms. And so I think our data reflect that in the current reporting. Mycoplasma is also at a familiar low. Certainly when barns are closed up over the winter, we may have an uptick in mycoplasma infections because of the respiratory disease issues and the ventilation issues. But at this point, it's still at a relative low. And I think it's also an example of the lessons that we're learning about mycoplasma prevention, control, and elimination.
With regards to the PERS 144 lineage C variant, what is changing at this point? What are the expectations as we move into the winter months? And what are we seeing in terms of mortality or morbidity?
Well, so there are field reports. Let's start with the mortality and morbidity. There are field reports that have said that infections of PERS 144 lineage 1C are notable in their mortality and in their morbidity in the breeding herds as well as in nurseries and finishers. Higher than normal, sometimes much higher than normal, even sow deaths. Certainly abortions, the normal type of PERS signs, but at a higher concentration, a higher incidence, and a higher outcome. There are other reports, though, other analyses that are done that suggest that 1441C really isn't any different than other severe PERS outbreaks that we've seen. And this is another thing that we're going to deal with And I appreciate both perspectives. We have to approach PERS-1441C as not some ninja virus that's going to get us, but as a PERS virus that we have to do objective prevention and response to. There has been some reports as well that once 1441C has gotten onto a farm, it's been harder to eliminate. So there's variation within PERS strains, and I think that's one of the things that we have to note about 1441C. As far as the development during the winter, during the PERS season as we come, we've still got to watch for how much of an impact it's going to have. I'm concerned about the increase in wean to finish sites as a harbinger for increased infections. But I think it's important to note that over the last few months, through the summer months, as well as into even this late into fall, there's not an appreciable difference between the total number of PERS positive tests that have been had and others from month to month. So we're still in that spot where we're making recommendations all about ensuring that you're doing your best you can do with biosecurity, with all things about transportation biosecurity, about pig movement biosecurity, about the even for example, even feed spread or use of vaccines, other things, that everything that you can do to try to eliminate risk from PERS, or at least decrease risk from PERS infections, is an important thing to do coming into the winter months.
With regards to porcine epidemic diarrhea, what are the prospects for gaining control of this infection, possibly elimination, eradication?
Yeah, there has been, for quite a while now, there's been suggestions that we have learned the lessons from PED. We have learned its control, its elimination from farms, how to move it off of farms and keep it off of farms, biosecurity, control, response. And we're at the spot where we should, we could enter into an eradication program, a program that we should take PED out altogether. I don't believe that there's a wide industry consensus for that yet. Certainly there are regional differences within the U.S. about the probability for success of that type of a program. So while that's an interesting thing to note and to talk about, I'm not so sure we're at an industry-wide consensus to go forward with that. I think it's something that we still have to look at for the future, and we have to have a good discussion about the advantages and disadvantages, the economic consequences, the economic considerations. So I know within the report, within our disease report, the advisory group again says we should consider that. This may be an opportunity. This low level may be an opportunity for national control and elimination of PED. But with those regional differences, I think we have to be careful about how we approach that and make sure we have an industry-wide consensus before we go forward.
What are the highlights of the global surveillance report this month?
Well, of course, when you talk about global surveillance, here the first thing is interest in swine fever, in African swine fever. And of course, this month includes new information about the Dominican Republic and about Haiti, about the breadth of infections that are happening in the Dominican Republic, and also increased infections that are being detected in Haiti. We are still working with USDA on all things preventive, especially as far as Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and the protection zone goes. USDA has been down in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and in Haiti to have firsthand views of their programs and of their actions, and to offer USDA U.S. assistance in developing those programs and in helping them. So there's a lot going on down there in the Caribbean, as well as in Central America, as far as African swine fever. We haven't seen any other outbreaks on other islands, and that's a positive thing as far as and as far as the Caribbean has gone. ASF continues to move around other areas of the world, including Germany. It has been discovered in new areas of Germany, still in feral pigs, with very limited infection in some backyard domestic pigs on the east side of Germany next to Poland. And so I know that the German authorities are working feverishly to contain that and make sure that they're doing everything they can do to protect their domestic industry. So there's ASF and the continued infections in Russia and China, et cetera. Those are not necessarily newsworthy. They are, as they are, probably reportable as business in progress and trying to control this infection as it moves. One of the things that's in the global disease report this month talks about classical swine fever in Brazil. That was a new detection of CSF in northeast Brazil. And that gained some media attention and even market attention when that was first reported, because I think with the sensitivities of social media and of other media and markets about African swine fever and all things foreign animal disease, a report of a classical swine fever in Brazil could be big news. But it is in an area that has had classical swine fever before. Brazil is zoned for classical swine fever in international markets. The majority of the country is zoned free, is recognized as free of CSF. And that north and northeastern area is a positive zone, even in Brazil. That's where this infection was found. I'm sure the Brazilian authorities are working on the epidemiology and the tracing of that, but that hasn't been in an area that would affect anything international trade.
Given the cooperation, level of cooperation in the Caribbean with USDA, what are the prospects for bringing the situation there under control?
Yeah, that's a valid question. I think the first thing you have to answer is, what's your expectation of a definition of under control? The prospects for bringing the infection under control, as in keeping it from spreading from one farm to another, is a work in progress. And it is something that USDA is offering assistance to the Dominican Republic to help do. The Dominican Republic program is a program of the Dominican Republic Department of Agriculture, not USDA. So USDA has no authority to go in there and tell them what to do, but we certainly are offering assistance, both financial as well as expertise assistance. USDA has set up a laboratory, a diagnostic laboratory in the Dominican Republic to help with timely test result reporting. We'll do tests right there in the DR and report those results. Anything that's positive will be confirmed at Plum Island, but that will certainly help with being able to respond quickly to positive infections, as well as confirm areas as being negative to ASF. So if that's what under control is, I think there's good progress that's being made. We always want it to be faster, but we have to understand that we can only work as fast as what the resources and the ability is in the country. And so there is good progress being made in under control that way. If you look at long-term under control as ASF eradication on the island of Hispaniola, including Haiti as a country, as well as the DR on the island of Hispaniola, that's probably a bigger hill to climb, and something that is certainly aspirational. And I expect that there will be talks with both countries, between the U.S. and both countries, about that goal. But I'm not so sure that goal is on the horizon at this point. The first step is control, meaning let's stop infection, let's stop the movement of the infection, and being able to control its spread around the island. And that's what we're working on right now.
And is there anything you would like to add?
As far as the domestic and international disease reporting, I think it's a good thing to again acknowledge the Iowa State University with the domestic disease reporting system and the recent introduction or inclusion of the Ohio State Veterinary Diagnostic Lab to the reporting system. We're working on expanding that reporting system as much as we can to make sure it's as inclusive as possible and as comprehensive as possible. As far as the international disease program goes, the University of Minnesota heads that up, and they look at a variety of different resources. And with the cooperation and advice of USDA and their review of the products. So I think we've got a fairly good comprehensive system there. Should anybody have any questions or any concerns about either of those programs, the information is on the Swine Health information website, swinehealth.org. And anybody that has suggestions for improvements, I'd certainly like to hear from them, and they can contact me directly at my email address, psunberg@swinehealth.org. You can find that on the website as well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.